This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. On demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Can you get that, sucker?
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
Please welcome your hosts, Brad Gilmore, Ashley Imani, and DJ Motai.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
What's up?
We're doing better at that every time. You know,
I think we are.
This is episode, I think, 53, so we should be able to get it by now.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing.
I mean, 53 of only the on-demand.
Of on-demand, so it's us saying on-demand.
At least 53 times,
if not more.
Well, we've said it so many times.
We've said it at least 106. I'm putting money on 106 times. But welcome to the show. I am Brad Gilmore. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brad Gilmore, the dress shoe wearing Ric Flair and good hair having entertainment world champion. And I'm always joined by the pan fried DJ himself. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at DJ MOTAI. He is DJ Motai.
Oh, yeah. Pan fried in the house.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I had 2 slices of pizza left over from last night.
Oh, yeah?
I also had 2 Almond Joys.
Oh,
probably
man.
Wasn't a good idea for this morning.
Probably not.
Hey, but they're good.
You know, I swore off like all pastries.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to eat like donuts anymore or any of that
donuts
stuff.
Donuts aren't good for
you. Donuts aren't good for you. That's why I decided to cut them out. I ate like a powdered donut one day and just got really sick. And I was like, oh, I don't want any donuts.
You know what? What's funny is, not funny, but what a lot of people don't notice, you're used to eating this certain type of food.
Yeah.
And you think it's good for you. So, but the thing is, it's the ingredients that's in the food. It makes you want to eat, you know.
It's like tobacco. It's like nicotine.
I guess so. You could put it that way. But it's like once you stop eating all this unhealthy food and you start eating healthy food, and then you like one day have like, you know, a piece of unhealthy food pointing to this thing over here.
You're pointing to a table, but okay.
I'm pointing to a table. I'm just using, you know.
I feel you. Dog.
You get sick.
Yeah.
Because your body's not used to it.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah,
and it can be the other way around, too. You something might be good for you. You're not used to it, and then you eat it yet. People are like, oh, it's healthy. But then you're like, no.
You know, next month, June 2014, will officially be 2 years of me not eating fast food.
Yeah, and I'm starting to try not to eat fast food, too. I mean, okay, question came up the other day. I got to ask you.
All right.
Do you think Chick-fil-A is fast food?
I mean, yeah, it's considered fast food, yeah.
I agree.
It is. I mean, it's not the typical fast food, though. Chick-fil-A is like the pinnacle of fast food. Like, it's if we had a Christmas tree of fast food, McDonald's would be kind of like the lights that go around the tree,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
Burger King, Taco Bell, they'd be like the ornaments you put at the really bottom. You don't give a shit if they break or not,
yeah,
but they're there at the bottom.
Yep.
And then you have like Jack in a Box, which is its own special ornament, maybe that your grandmother gave you one time
it's
for Christmas.
Jack's face.
Yeah, and it has just, yeah, it's Jack's bobblehead face, yeah, and you like it. It has a sentimental value.
Right, right.
It's a little better than the others, but you really don't care about it as much. And then the top of the tree is, of course, the star placed on top of every Christmas tree, and that is, of course, Chick-fil-A. Just gets it all right. Chick-fil-A gets it right every time. They innovated the world with the waffle fries, with the nuggets and the peanut oil, and then they went to the ketchup packets where you can either open them or you can squeeze them out, you
and
know,
it's
with
three
the top.
And one. It's three
and
packets
it's three,
in one.
Three packets to one?
Yeah.
You can't compete with that. Nah. Now, I will say, though, competing for that top star spot is Whataburger.
I would competing for it, yeah, but I think on a level of like what they make it as,
yeah, true.
What they make with it,
yeah.
I think I would say healthier on the healthier end would be Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, yeah, but yeah. If we're talking just about the good fast foods, me having to, you know, predate this conversation 2 years ago, back when I ate it,
yeah,
I would have to say it's a up there between Chick-fil-A and Whataburger.
Yeah,
Chick-fil-A though, they just do everything right. You know, everything. The Arnold Palmer option is amazing.
The chicken.
The chicken's just good. The spicy chicken sandwich with the pepper jack cheese on it.
Chicken.
Oh, man. But enough talking about that. You know, if we were, if our guest brought breakfast today, we'd be eating some mother effing chicken minis right now from Chick-fil-A. That'd be awesome with Arnold Palmer and a gallon of sweet tea for our fridge here. But anyway, back to the topic. It is a beautiful Monday morning.
It is a beautiful Monday morning.
It is Monday, May 19th, and tonight, DJ Motai,
tonight
is the third ever
Debonair
Lounge Showcase.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be good, man.
For sure.
I'm excited. Our judges, Kai Meyer.
You know what?
Kelly Cryer and Beat King.
Now, that's cool. Now, what I told Tay, I was like, it's already been a month.
Yeah, no, it didn't feel like a month.
It didn't feel like it at all, which I guess would be a good thing.
Yeah, but true. But that's coming up this Monday, and also this Friday through next Monday, I will be at the George R. Brown Convention Center working the Comic Palooza event with Reality of Wrestling. So go to realityofwrestling.com for more tickets. As always, you can see me and DJ Motai every Monday night at the Debonair Lounge, Cafe 4212 Alameda Road. And we got some stuff to talk about with 2011 coming up in the coming weeks. So y'all stay tuned for new 2011 dates. And music coming very, very soon.
New news.
New. And today's show is great. We're going to be going over the news. We got several things to go over with the news. Right, we got Dr. Dre. We got Beyonce, Jay-Z, Solange.
Oh,
we got Donald Sterling again.
Again? Just
again, dude. This guy doesn't stop. So we have so much stuff to go over in the news. But right now, let's throw it over to DJ Motai's Monday morning music mix.
You ready, DJ Motai?
That's pretty cool, dude.
That's right, man. So let's hear it right now on the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand, yo.
Zilla, nigga.
Repeat. Hey.
But your bitch love it, bitch love it. But your bitch love it, bitch love it. But your bitch love it, bitch love it, love it. But your bitch love it, bitch love it.
He ain't really got no flow. But your bitch love it. He ain't really, really getting that down. But your bitch love it. Fool always thinking he gone. But your bitch love it. What you niggas really hate me for? Cause your bitch love it. If you a bad bro, you could come and rock with Stockzilla. Oldest fam, H-Town, them my niggas. Hit Bun B, hate sing it, then you not Triller. Cut the dude in the coupe, got a flat top too. Turn your boo bug to a bugaboo. They know us, they gotta ask about you. They know us, they gotta ask about you. You don't have to like, long as your bitch love it. Switch the gold for the cold, got sick of it. They hate the rollie, but I swear that my wrists love it. When I stack mo chains, I'ma need six of them. Boys hug on they gut, cause they sick of them. We just pull up stunt, make a bitch of them. Might even snatch one of them chick gums. She a little thick some. When you shine, this is what you get some. Get some, look fly in that. If me no likey, then we fly you back. If she gon' pay attention, then you might have to buy your back. You dry hating, and I don't want no parts in that. You see this bitch, this vintage is an artifact. I ain't stunning much, play a part in that. But if you ask me why I'm buying that, you should know my reply to that. It's cause your bitch love it. He ain't really got no flow. Oh, but your bitch love it. He ain't really, really getting that down. But your bitch love it. Fool always thinking he gone. But your bitch love it. What you niggas really hate me for? Cause your bitch love it. He ain't really got no flow. But your bitch love it. He ain't really, really getting that down. But your bitch love it. Fool always thinking he gone.
Pro LAD.
But your bitch love it. What you niggas really hate me for?
For this shit, man.
Oh,
hey.
Cause your bitch love it.
Man, why you stunt, man? I think you broke. But your bitch love it. That toe bar always on swole. Hey, and your bitch love it. It's a young nigga they call Ray P. Your bitch love my whole family. I'm on the cloud cause I'm smoking loud. And you can probably come get a pee. I don't give a damn about your whole life. My nigga Stockzilla got the hoes in cage. And Ray P got a couple Cali girls. We gon' get them hot and fuck them crazy. Broke ass niggas at home lazy. My diamonds stay dancing like Patrick Swayze. Your bitch love it, your girl love it. She give me brains so I know she crazy. I slide off in that pussy like coins in a parking meter. Yeah, your girl hungry for the D. So you know a nigga had the feet. She told her baby daddy about me. Now that nigga ass
But your bitch love it. He ain't really, really getting that down. But your bitch love it. Fool always thinking he gone. But your bitch love it. What you niggas really hate me for? Cause your bitch love it. He ain't really got no flaw. But your bitch love it. He ain't really, really getting that down. But your bitch love it. Fool always thinking he gone. But your bitch love it. What you niggas really hate me for? Cause your bitch love it.
You know this feel like that 92 Dream Team shit. Sometimes you just gotta ball, nigga.
I'll ball up in my face, yeah, them hoes know that I'm clean, clean. From the city where you got a double cup with that lean, lean. Nigga, I'm just coolin' with my J's on and my bling, bling. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team, 1992 Dream Team. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team, 1992 Dream Team. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992 Dream Team.
Okay, my attitude like Barkley, they fucking with me hardly. Push start, no car keys. That pussy, she reward me. I'm a young nigga with a lot of game. I got the brain and forgot her name. I'm getting money, no time for dames. I look good in these such frames. Goddamn, I'm so cool. Yo, girl, it's old news. Got ran through by my old crew. Fall back, nigga, let that hoe choose. Back to back, Chicago. She going live in that grotto. No clobber, the nigga finna glide though. And that all white Mercy Lago. Now, I ain't drunk. I'm just getting down. She ain't bout that life, then I send her home. Fed it off that OG, I'm like MJ when I hit that strong. On that bullshit, tell that bitch to go.
I'm all up in my face, yeah, them hoes know that I'm clean, clean. From the city where you got a double cup with that lean, lean. Nigga, I'm just coolin' with my J's on and my bling, bling. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team, 1992 Dream Team. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team, 1992 Dream Team. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992.
Man, my chain go, my watch go. Cheese on me, that's nachos. They mad, why? Cause I got dough. Threw a stack and she dropped low. 16 with that Glock code. Don't make my niggas lock low. Then shoot the shit, I'm too legit. You ain't never ever met a nigga cool as this. Man, I'm sneezing hard in my Jordan 6s. Yo, broke ass, can't afford them bitches. I ignore them niggas, nigga, I'm the shit. So I'm by my paper like toilet tissue. They try to say that I'm acting funny. Walked in with a stack of money. I snatch a woman, then smash a woman, then fashion woman like Magic Johnson. Put them all ashamed, nigga. I don't need a ball of same. I belong in the Hall of Fame. And I'm so official, I could call a game. Times I be dropping. You could call me Stockton. It's just me and my posse. And your girlfriend keep flocking. And she
all up in my face. Yeah, them hoes know that I'm clean, clean. From the city where you got a double cup with that lean, lean. Nigga, I'm just cooling with my J's on and my bling, bling. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team. 1992 Dream Team. Boy, I ball so hard, they call this 1992 Dream Team.
Turn the hoes. Oh, you want a verse for free? Nigga, please get the fuck up off the phone. real talk. My mind on a milli, I'ma grind till I get it. Never been a type that need a cosign from a nigga. Cause even in the dark, I'm gon' shine on a nigga. If it ain't about dough, I go grind on a nigga. I'd rather be real, don't lie to a nigga. No money, no time for a nigga. I'd rather be at home with a blunt and a bubble bath with a bad bitch pouring wine on a nigga. And June, you a motherfucking genius. I put it on my mama that this shit bumping. And if somebody keep calling your phone and they talking about nothing, when you pick up, tell them bitch quit bumping.
Look, I don't mean to be blunt, but if you ain't talking about money, nigga, you ain't talking about nothing, bitch, quit bumping. And I don't really be cuffing, so if you ain't talking about fucking holding, you ain't talking about nothing, bitch, quit bumping. Bump, 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 bump,
bitch, quit bumping.
We just having fun, my nigga.
Back in this bitch like a pair of jeans, giving no slack in this bitch. And bumping ain't gon' leave nothing but me stomping on your face like you was a dope mat in this bitch. I'm in the club with a dro sack in the bib, bottle in my hand, hoes ask for a sip, so I ask for a kiss on my dick. If she say no, you might see a hoe get slapped in this bitch. No time for skeezers, better find your visa, cause I'm quick to tell a bobby hoe bye Felicia. No fucking, and I'm sorry, it was nice to meet you, but I'm just trying to cut something like a slice of pizza. I leave these hoes single just like Latifah, and have boys thinking that my phone broke, cause I don't find nothing funny about a man with no money. And most of y'all call him with the wrong jokes. See, bullshit is getting blocked. If it ain't by dough, it get denied. You can have a flu with the chicken pox and still wouldn't have a flow as sick as mine. Trill talk. And when I'm on the scene, you'll think a nigga brought a trampoline away. I get shit jumping. And if somebody keep calling your phone and they talk about nothing, when you pick up, tell them bitch quit bump.
Look, I don't mean to be blunt, but if you ain't talking about money, nigga, you ain't talking about nothing, bitch quit bump. And I don't really be cuffed for this one. So if you ain't talking about fucking holding, you ain't talking about nothing, bitch quit bump.
They say I rap about money, smoking weed, and getting hair like that's all I do.
That's all I do.
But since I'm young and blowing blunts, fucking big booty bitches, that's all I knew.
That's all I do.
And when I buy a box of Rolos at noon, and them hoes be gone by two. You're damn right, I'ma talk about weed on every motherfucking song I do. I'm a smoker, baby, and I'm proud to be. Blow at least a quarter pound a week, cause if I go all day without smoking, son, I fuck around.
And now the news with Ashley Imani.
All right, everybody, we got a crazy, crazy week in news, at least news that pertains to us. Once again, I'm going to take over the news segment this week because Monty isn't here. So in her absence, we shall deliver the news. All right, first thing we got to talk about, crazy stuff. Last week, a report came out, and it was confirmed through an Instagram video that Dr. Dre is hip-hop's first billionaire, apparently. He sold the Beats by Dre headphone company to Apple Computers for $3.2 billion.
That's insane.
Now, I know Dr. Dre went into business with Jimmy Iovine to do these headphones. Remember that I'm using Beats headphones as we're recording this podcast. I remember when they first came out, you had to put AA batteries up in this bitch.
Really?
You don't remember that?
No, I was never a fan of Beats headphones, really.
And what was the reason?
I don't know. I think they're just it's just a bunch of hype. I mean, they sound good, but there's also, you know, other brands out there that
they just sound just as good.
Yeah.
And Beats is one, they sound just as good as everything else. It's by Dr. Dre and cool. They look cool and all the celebrities rock them in their videos. Yeah. That's why. But so I got my first pair of Beats actually this past Christmas. I'm very happy with them. And now I'm sure Dr. Dre is super happy. Hip-hop's first billionaire. Now, I heard that he only owns 25% of the company, which
now
would
that
mean
he sold it, or you mean?
No, just beforehand.
Oh.
He only owned 25%, which I think means like, that'd be $900 million off that deal, I believe.
You know I'm not good with math.
$3.2 billion. I don't even think you can do billion in your iPhone calculator. I don't think you can do it.
No, you don't think so. I mean, you can turn it sideways.
You can turn it sideways, yeah. On this bitch. Yeah. But anyway, Dr. Dre, man, what do you think? Hip-hop's first billionaire surpasses Jay-Z, P. Diddy, 50 Cent, Akon, all the Forbes top guys.
Off of a sale.
Off of one sale, one power move.
That's crazy, dude. I mean, it's cool, but it's crazy how, like, I thought Jay-Z was already a billionaire.
Yeah, he was on his way. Yeah. Check this out. Jay-Z and Beyonce's net worth put together right, put together,
okay,
equal the amount of money Dr. Dre got off this deal.
What?
$900 million.
What?
Yeah, isn't that insane?
Wow.
You just think of Jay-Z as the richest man in the world for some reason, even though he's not.
I mean, I think it's just because he's Hov.
He's Hov, man. He's Hov. But anyway, congratulations to Dr. Dre, man. Hip-hop's first billionaire. That shows how far hip-hop has taken it, man. That's ridiculous. But in the news, man, we got another thing, man. This guy won't stop. He just won't stop.
He won't stop?
Donald Sterling.
He's still going at it?
Donald Sterling won't stop. Here's the thing. If I'm being accused of all kinds of bad stuff that I said, guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to say anything else. I'm going to sit at home.
You're going to stop, right? You're going to shut your ass up.
Yeah, I'm going to shut my ass up, yeah, and I'm not going to say anything. But he chooses to go on Anderson Cooper with AC360 and do an interview with Anderson Cooper and starts talking about just racist stuff. Anderson Cooper asks him about Magic Johnson, who's been very vocal about everything Donald Sterling has said.
Mm-hmm.
And Magic, and then Donald Sterling says, what has Magic Johnson really done? He slept with a lot of girls, and then he got the AIDS.
Got the AIDS.
He called it the AIDS,
first of all. That's horrible.
He got the AIDS. He goes, and I went to the synagogue, and he's like, I prayed for Magic Johnson when he got the AIDS, and look where it's gotten me, or something like that. And I'm just like, dude.
No, no.
And then he was like, wait, I'm not done yet. I might have to splice audio from the interview into this show somewhere. But then he said, you know, the thing about Jewish people, because he's a Jewish person, is when they get money, they'll help out their other Jewish people. He said, what do African Americans do? They get money, something to the, I'm paraphrasing, but they get money and then they just keep it to themselves. I'm like, dude, man, shut up.
How is he still living?
especially in LA.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What do you think, Motai? What do you think about Donald Sterling?
I think he really, I mean, like what we just said, he needs to shut the hell up, you know?
Dude,
and it's like you know, everyone has their own opinions, but no one needs to hear him. You know, no one wants to hear him. Especially, you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Exactly, man. And it's just like, dude, if you're being accused of all this bad shit, shut up.
Yeah.
Just go home. Go with V. Stiviano or whatever your mistress name is who wears the visor and just chill the F out, man. I mean,
like I said, how is he still breathing?
I don't know, man. But moving right along to the biggest story this week. Uh-oh. Huge, huge story, man. Uh-oh. We're all fans of this man. You know what I mean? We all love this man. It's the rap. You know what I'm talking about, man? Jay-Z, man. Never did I think I'd be talking about Jay-Z gossip on the Brad Gilmore show. He normally stays out of it, but let's run it down for him, DJ Motai. At the Met Gala, which we talked about recently, all the big stars were there, Rihanna there, the Kardashians, Kanye, all of them there.
I was there.
Motai was there, of course.
Yep,
I was there. I actually just drove Motai and dropped him off. You know, his truck was in the shop. I looked out for you then, mm-hmm. Motai.
Yep.
You owe me one. Don't forget that. I still want my gas money, too.
I got you, dude.
But anyway, when there a video leaked through TMZ that Beyonce, Jay-Z, and Solange all got into an elevator. First Beyonce and Jay, then their security guard, then Solange, right, I believe is the order. And all of a sudden, the elevator video shows Solange yelling at Jay-Z, getting in his face, Z-snapping all kinds of crazy ways, and then starts yelling at him, and then boom, 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 starts Tyson and Floyd Mayweather, his bitch ass, starts throwing shots at him. I don't even know what's going on. I'm watching the video in amazement like, oh, you ain't got no nipples. And then boom, 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 security guard tries to break it up. Then fucking Solange breaks out those Chung Li ass kicks. Boom, boom, Street Fighter 2, Super Nintendo. Do you know what I'm saying, DJ Motai?
I know what you're saying.
Boom, Zangief, E Honda. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then they split them up. Beyonce's just sitting there looking. I don't know what's going on. And there's no audio to the video, so I'm losing my mind. What are they yelling about, brother?
Sorry.
Wrestling.
I got too into it.
Yeah.
I got caught up again.
Yep.
It happens sometimes.
You know what happens? It happens to the best of us.
It happens to the best. I got way too caught up. But apparently, though, in all seriousness, Jay-Z was really being attacked by Solange Knowles. No one knows why. There's no audio for the video, so we can't hear what she's yelling about. And then
they should put audio in elevators.
They should. Instead of that awful music, just have a microphone recording everyone's conversation.
Yep.
You would hear the weirdest conversations on elevators.
Oh, you probably hear some people farting up in there.
Some people boning.
Boning, maybe.
Do you think anyone bones an elevator?
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible to bone an elevator?
I mean, you could hit the stop button.
Yeah. But I'm sure if
I don't know if the alarm would go off.
I'm thinking some alarm's going off, and that would just take me right out of the mood.
Yeah, it'll set off the, you know, whoever's watching.
Won't that take you out of the mood, too?
I don't know.
You're in the middle of lovemaking.
As long as the elevator's not moving, dude. You know?
But if, like, alarms and flashing lights are going off?
Yeah, yeah. I think that would make it more intense. For sure. Just an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, okay. I feel you. Touche. Touche, Motai. Touche. But anyway, no, so they were throwing punches. We don't know what happened. The next day, Solange goes and deletes every picture of her and Beyonce, except for one off of her Instagram. Every single picture of them, too.
What do you think it could possibly be?
Dude, I don't know. A lot of people were saying, like, you know, Solange was defending Beyonce about something.
Uh-huh.
And then, there was a rumor that Jay-Z wanted to attend Rihanna's after party by himself with no Beyonce or Solange, and that's what upset her. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but I do know after Solange deleted all her Instagram pictures, Beyonce went the next day
right, and
uploaded some of the pictures Solange deleted to her Instagram account.
Hmm.
I don't know what's going on. And, you know, someone also brought up the point of, are they doing this to pub their tour that they have coming up, the On the Run tour?
Just to get some
publicity? Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, because it's Jay and Beyonce. I think they're going to sell out no matter what.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But I don't know, man. Just so much stuff. What do you think? A lot of people are giving Beyonce flack for just kind of standing there.
Just standing there, not doing anything. I mean, I've heard both stories of what people think. You know, like, oh, she should have done something. That's her husband. And then some people are like, but that's her sister. You know, she... It's like she couldn't do anything, but she could have done something. She could have helped out in breaking it up, you know? She just stood there.
Okay, look, let's put it in perspective. If you were Beyonce, one, you'd be really hot. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I'd be like, I'd have an ass.
You'd have an ass out of this world.
Yeah.
Is that up there in your top asses? Do you really like Beyonce's ass?
Not the biggest ass, but it's a nice ass.
It's a really nice one.
And I like her skin tone, too.
Oh, yeah?
I like, yeah. Yep,
what
yep.
about her skin tone do you like, Motai? Let's get into this.
You want to get into this?
Yeah, why not?
I like chocolate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, I mean, she has a very specific type of skin. It's like
She's got the Beyonce kind of skin.
It's like a nougaty chocolate, you know what I mean?
Nougaty chocolate.
Like a milky, real milky chocolate.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Really, if you bite into it, it's going to taste real nice. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, good Lord. Oh, my bad, dude. Yeah.
Anyway, but if you were Beyonce and you were in that elevator and you saw your sister attacking your husband, how would you react?
I'm going to try to put this in, you know, to where I can see things. I don't see myself having a husband.
yeah, it's hard.
Or
not that there's anything wrong with that.
I would try to break it up for sure.
Yeah?
Because, I mean, I wouldn't just stand there and look dumb, you know?
But then it's like, you know, whose side do you take? Do you try to defend your husband? Or do you try to just pull your sister off of her and calm her down, or do you try to calm him down?
I mean,
I was shocked that Jay-Z didn't pimp slap that bitch.
I know. I was like, you know what? It's a good thing he didn't do anything, because then it probably could have been worse.
It would have been for sure worse.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just don't know. I mean, if I were Beyonce, I'd try to just stand in the middle and be like, yo, y'all need to chill.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so from what we know, we don't know what happened, actually. We don't know why they're fighting. What I would say, I would really try to break it up. I mean, I guess regardless, I'd just be like, you know, chill out. Oh my God, chill out.
I know Beyonce is all on your breath like liquor, but yeah, man, I really don't know what happened. I know more details are going to have to come out. Someone's going to have to tell us the full story. Hopefully TMZ can find a way to get that audio, or get a lip reader and an angle guy who can read the lips from different angles.
Maybe we can get that bodyguard to say something.
Let's get the bodyguard to say something. He needs a good paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that has been the news with DJ Motai and Brad Gilmore. We're going to have a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with our guest today. His name is Key West from 97.9 The Box. So listen, stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Woo!
Hey guys, DJ Motai here, the pan-fried DJ Motai on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. I got to tell you something. This is horrible. This is despicable. No one's trying to steal the moon or, you know, any pyramids or anything, but they're trying to shut down podcasts. We can't let that happen. They're from East Texas, I believe. But you know what? We're going to try to stop this. And what you can do to help us out
is go to the Podcast Legal Defense Fund at fundanything.com/patent trolls. Help us out. Yeah.
Hey, it's your boy Big Face Fiend, CEO of Stuffers, and I'm inviting you to come get stuffed. I promise we have some of the juiciest burgers, tenderest ribs, and smokiest hot dogs you'll ever taste. So come check me out. Better yet, come get stuffed. We got catering available for all parties and events, and you can follow us on Twitter at Stuffers. That's 3 F's and a Z. STUFFERZ.
People do call though, man. If it's somebody
older
from like,
people call, yeah.
Yeah, like 25, well, I mean, that's not old, but I mean like,
maybe 30. We'll
if you're
30.
Pushing 30, you know, you're probably, you might call. 35, you're definitely calling. But if it's that important, they're going to leave a message. And if it ain't, they're going to text you.
I just don't like it. I just don't like the unknown number.
No, I don't do it. No, I get set up all the time. Every time I answer an unknown number, hey, man, it's so-and-so from way back when. You remember we were talking about this record and da-da-da? I'm like, oh, fuck.
Hang up.
See, I wouldn't pick up those, yeah.
Who do you have? No, this is QS Travel Agency located in Florida.
Right, we're in Florida right now.
Who are you calling?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I'm going to have to use that one.
There you go right there. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show. You already heard us talking. Our guest today is 97.9 The Box's own Mr. Key West.
Hey!
How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me, Brad. Brad Gilmore. I like how you're dressed comfortably for once. Every time I see you, you're in a suit.
I'm in a suit, yeah. It's the summertime look. You know what I mean? It's May. I'm starting to, you know, some girls get summertime fine. I get summertime casual.
She has some really white legs.
I do have some white legs.
Yeah, you ain't seen my legs yet, man. Those are actually like real, like dark tan legs compared to my legs. My legs are like invisible, like see through legs, man. Like, I be like, people gotta wear sunglasses when they look at my legs, but
dang.
Hey, I'm trying to make it happen, man.
Hey, we all got to get there. It's summertime. It's hot in the city.
It's,
you know,
too hot for less, the clothes, man.
Less and less clothing. I know the women, though, are going to start looking better. That's what I love.
Yes.
My two favorite seasons, summertime, wintertime. Wintertime for the leggings, all right? I can just see everything you're working with.
It's just,
and then summertime, it's just the short shorts.
You know, the cool thing is, like, everybody's like, oh, I can't stand the heat. But the heat, it brings people out. Women dress down, and just more things are happening, man. See, if it was cold, like, I'm from San Francisco, and out there it's too cold for women to dress down.
Yeah.
Women are, and, you know, they're wearing pants, they're wearing 2-3 jackets, you know, they're wearing beanies. It's like, yeah, that's cool, but I can't really see no body. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
show
me
something.
Some skin, man. Like, you know?
Man, when I went to New York City recently, man, it was just like every girl was just covered up completely.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like I didn't see one attractive girl on my whole trip to New York
City.
Because
all the clothes, right?
All the clothes. You can't tell. And then they have huge sunglasses on, but there's no sun out. I don't know what these women are doing in New York City. I digress. Key West is here. You recognize his voice, I know, from 97.9 The Box.
Maybe, yeah.
Weekdays, 7 to midnight,
hopefully, right? Hopefully you do. Hopefully you listen in, man. The Box, you know, man, 7 to midnight. I've been doing it for about 3.5 years, man.
Dude, and you said you started, I read your website. I went to your website.
Oh, good.
Did a little look in, you know what I mean?
Oh, good. I got to update that website, man. I need some help on that.
Trying to find it out.
You know, we never update our blog.
Let me know if you want to update a blog for me. I'm all for it.
But I read, you know, you started in San Francisco. That's where you're from, the Bay Area. Born and raised, I guess?
Born and raised in the Bay. To be exact, Daly City, which is about 5 minutes outside of San Francisco. And then I went to high school in San Mateo. So basically, like, the Bay Area is like, it's Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose.
Okay.
And there's about 20-some-odd cities all in between that, all around the water. San Jose is the biggest city, but obviously the most popular city is San Francisco. Oakland... Well, Oakland's popular for other reasons that probably they don't want to be popular for.
Yeah.
But it's still the Bay, man. So, yeah, I grew up in the Bay, and then, you know, by the time I moved, I was living in San Jose. So, you know, I lived in several parts of the Bay, man. But, yeah, San Francisco, baby.
That's Northern California,
Northern
right?
California. Everybody, it's funny because when you come to Texas, everybody thinks, oh, you're from L.A.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when you go to California and you say you moved to Texas, everybody thinks you moved to Dallas. And I'm like, you know what, man? Like, I feel like the Bay Area is kind of like the H-town of California, you know? We never get the love that we should because we're responsible for a lot of culture for California.
Yeah.
And so is H-Town for Texas, you know. So we don't get the cred because maybe we just don't have the most, I don't know, the most mainstream names of the state. So
and you know, people just assume, they always like, oh, you're going to Southern California. You're going to Southern California. Like my brothers, exactly. My brothers live in Northern California. So when I hear Cali, I think San Francisco, Sacramento area.
Sacramento,
you know, my brother's from Chico, California.
I know Chico, man.
And,
actually, you know what, dude?
Colfax.
Did you go to Chico State?
Yeah.
Oh, have you been to Chico
State? No, I haven't been.
Oh, man. You look,
especially as a white boy, man, you would love to go party at Chico State. Chico State is like one of the most popular party schools in America.
Oh, wow.
Dang. It's actually where Aaron Rodgers grew up. I don't think
okay.
And I don't know if he went to Chico State. He might have. I don't know how he made it out that party scene, but I guess he did. But Chico State is like, there's nothing out there. And all it is just, it's just a downtown area, little town, college town, just straight parties. You know, frats, sororities. I mean, it's just bars. Like,
sounds like a movie.
See, now I need to go.
Go visit your brother.
I need to call brother Rusty and be like, hey.
Russ, we're going to Chico.
Russ, we're going down to Chico State. We're going to party. He might be a little old. You know, he's got the kids now. But whatever. Hey, bring him out of the house. Bring the kids with you.
Look, I'm sure he's got a couple connects, man. I'm sure he knows a couple honeys still in downtown.
He's got to have a little black book somewhere, all right? He's got to have it somewhere. But, okay, yeah. So you're in California, and I read you started your radio career in 2006.
Yeah, 2006. I was about 19 and a half, almost 20. And people were like, what motivated you to get into radio? And there wasn't anything like music related that really motivated me to get into radio. All it was is that I wanted to get into clubs at an early age. So the only way I saw to get into the clubs as a 19-year-old was to join the most popular radio station at the time. It was called Wild 94.9, the Bay Area's party station. And that was really my motivation to really even get started into radio.
Yeah.
I was taking classes, too, in college, and I was studying business. I was studying sports management. See, it never was an idea for me to even do radio. When we started doing broadcasting classes, you know, for sports radio –
Did you want to be a sports manager?
Yeah, you know, actually, growing up, I was like, I think I want to work for an organization like the San Francisco Giants, the San Jose Sharks, or Oakland A's. I wanted to work for a big league team, somewhere behind the scenes, though, because I grew up an athlete. I played baseball my whole entire life, and obviously, I wasn't good enough to play baseball. So I was like, okay, what's the next best thing? Behind the scenes, management. Okay, cool. It's a steady job. It's funny because I went to go shadow somebody of the vice president of the San Jose Sharks when I was a freshman in college. And it was cool. I got to chop it up with him. For me, at the time, I felt like he didn't make enough money.
Yeah.
To be a track. But now that I think about it, he was making plenty of money.
He's probably making some good dough, right?
He was making some good money. But me being as a kid, I'm like, it's all about the money. It's got to be about the money.
Yeah.
The dollars he was talking about, I was like, nah, that's not enough for me. Because I thought, if you were making $100,000, no matter what you were doing, you were going to be happy because the money was going to make you happy.
Yeah.
And obviously, that was me being immature and not realizing what it was to have a career. So when I got down with the radio station, I knew nobody. Like, I knew nobody, no promoters, no rappers, no nobody, no DJs, nobody. Just so happened, one of my friends from high school, she was a promoter, a club promoter.
Yeah.
So I got and started doing that. Started promoting clubs and... basically, she knew somebody who was an intern at the station, and I got it good with them, and they were able to give me an interview.
Okay.
To be an intern at the station, and it was funny, like, there was two stations at the time. It was 106 KML, which is the hip-hop station.
Okay.
And then there was Wild 94.9, which was more the top 40 rhythmic station. Well, KML offered me an internship first, but I said no. I turned it down. So I was like, I want to be Wild, because Wild's where they're in all the parties.
Yeah.
They're the most popular station of my
I can
opinion.
Get in all the clubs.
Yeah. It was kind of like this. It was kind of like KML was in Oakland, and Wild 94.9 was in San Jose and San Francisco. Well, San Jose, San Francisco is predominantly Latino.
Okay.
And I was like, look, I want to be in that scene, because the East Bay is a little bit, it wasn't my scene at the time. That's not what I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
So finally, I got an offer from Wild 94.9, did my interview, got hired as an intern. And those were some of my most favorite years ever of life.
I'm sure.
It was just a blast. It's funny because it's crazy when you get into the industry like that, as an intern, unpaid intern, at the first day, you're seeing such a different reaction from how people treat you. People have, they're shaking your hand, they're greeting you, women are all over you. It's like night and day. You go from being this normal person who gets no love from nobody to just like, oh my God, let me take a picture with you. Yeah. They don't know who you are.
No, don't care. They don't care who you are.
They don't care. They just know that you have something that they can't get, which is status, or which is the ends into the city, because you're part of this big time station. So, I mean, those were some of the best events, man. I was in the clubs. I was in every type of like a car show, festival.
You were emceeing?
Concerts. No, I wasn't even emceeing at the time.
You were just there.
I was doing promotion work.
Okay.
So I was the guy setting up the tents. I was the guy handing out stickers. I remember like one of the first weeks I started that they were like, They're like, all right, here's some booty stickers. They used to call them booty stickers. And what you did was like you went around the club and you asked these women, can I slap a sticker on your booty?
Yeah, there you go.
And they were always down.
Mochai, write that down. You need to try that.
Hey, that's me right there.
Brad, get more booty stickers coming soon. especially out here in H-Town. But yeah, they were always down. So you just be slapping just like, bah. You just be slapping cheeks all night.
Ugh, what a life.
I mean.
But you had to ask him first.
You had to ask. Well, duh. Yeah,
you just
had
be like,
to
well, dude, I mean, they're already partying, so you're just like, they wouldn't like, even hey, know. Hey, what's up, girl? Hey, what's up? Can I put a booty sticker on you?
Yeah.
Some of them would be like, it was rare. Some of them would be like, you can't touch my booty. I'm like, all right, well, here's a sticker. Why don't you put it on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But there you go. But otherwise, the most of the girls are like, yeah, and then they bend over for you.
Oh,
we had these tattoos, man, and these tattoos, we just had to get them on, you know, to get them on women, all right?
Yeah.
Well, some of them, we'd be in the club, and they'd be fucked up, all right? So they would just be, like, just showing titties, and they'd be like, why don't you put one right here? And they just show you titty, and you're just putting a tattoo on their titties, man. Like, it's crazy. God. Like, it was the party station, so every time they saw us, everybody was always turned up. But it was that was where I realized that this is something I actually love to do. Like, and really, it took a backseat to everything. I quit playing baseball. I really slacked in school. I went from, like... That's so bad. It's cool. I went from like a 2.8 to like a 1.2 in like one semester.
Because
I just stopped caring. Really, I was like, dude, I love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't making no money, I loved what I was doing. So eventually, I saw these the drivers, the promotional drivers. I saw them. They were doing call-ins to the station. Like, hey, what's up? You know, we're out here on this location. Come find us. We got this prize. And I was looking at them. I was like, you know, I could do that. I know I can do that. And so I started practicing. I started practicing. You know, I'd be driving on the freeway and I'd be like, hey, I'm on 101 South right now. I got your tickets to go see such and such, man. It's your homie. And my name was JC at the time. And it was,
yeah.
It's your homie JC over here for Wild 94.9. And I'd just be in the car just reciting call-ins for myself, you know. Well, eventually the pool that I started in was a pool of interns, about 20 or so people. And they hire two people every year. And I was one of those two people to get an offer to get hired. Problem was here, this was my first big obstacle in radio, was I had a DUI when I was younger, when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the first job is to drive vehicles. So that wasn't enough time for them to pass it. And they said, look, man, we want to offer you the job, but you can't be on our insurance, man. This is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So basically, I was up for the situation after a year of interning to quit or just keep interning. And I really thought about quitting. Because it was like, oh, man, I put in all this work and, you know,
and
I
can't offer, even.
And I can't even get a freaking part-time job. So, but I stayed. But I set my goals differently for the next couple of years. Instead of aiming to be a part-time, you know, to drive vehicles, I was like, I can't do that. So I got to skip that. And I got to go straight on air. So I started practicing to be a part-time jock. So finally got up enough guts to go talk to my program director. My program director was, the big guy. He's the guy in charge of the station.
The PDs,
man. So the PD makes the moves, and I finally got enough guts to go talk to him. And I told him what I wanted to do, and he was like, okay, cool. Well, let's start doing some air checks. So we were doing air checks, and this went on for about a year. An air check really is just it's a sample of your work.
Yeah.
He's just like, okay, you know, this song, and then, you know, talk in between. And then I had one of the assistant production managers help me do it. He was, like, in a little closet. So I'm recording my first air check. Little closet, like, it's not even, like, it's like a bathroom, like a small bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, it's like barely any room. We can't even breathe in nothing. I'm doing these air checks. Well, this went on for about a year. And during that time, it was about 2007, 2008. That was a tough time for radio.
Yeah.
That was the first time radio started having major cutbacks. So during that time, everybody's
what
getting
was
fired.
That? What was that about, though, 07, 08?
07, 08 was like really it's the time that really, like, where the economy went bad.
Okay.
And it
so it was just an effect of overall...
Overall economy. Okay. It, you know, I'm sure it affected everybody everywhere, but it really hit hard in the Bay Area, and especially for the company I was working for at the time. And they made some major cutbacks. Major cutbacks. I'm talking about, like, when I got into the building, when I started in 06, it was packed. I'm talking about they were eliminating the whole entire floors.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, I'm talking about my two media bosses got canned. On-air jocks were getting canned. Salespeople got it the worst. Salespeople were getting hacked left and right. They couldn't sell it. Everything was too damn expensive. Yeah. Man. Nobody had no money. They were just getting hacked left and right.
Damn.
So all this is happening, all these changes. The station, while this is happening, I'm doing these air checks. The station, we were kind of like a Latino hip-hop station at the time for years, for like 15 years. Well, they made the flip to being a straight pop station. And that flip is very different.
Yeah.
We're talking about, they've changed the colors of the station, the whole image of the station. They said, well, look, instead of targeting more Latinas, we're going to target more of a white audience. And to them, to the program director at the time, his image of targeting a white audience was keeping his crispy, clean image. And that just wasn't us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, we're the party station.
We're the party station. We go on the streets now, and we had a dress code on the streets. We can't wear hats, couldn't wear baggy clothes, we couldn't wear shit. And it was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I didn't sign up for this shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like, I remember one time he's like, look, your shirt's too big. I'm like, what are you, come on, man. I'm not even paid right now. You serious, son?
I'm an intern.
I'm a 20-year-old intern. Like, what do you expect from me? And like, so anyway, man, all this shit's happening, and I'm trying to do my air checks. So finally, a year after that of doing air checks, I'm talking about maybe 10 or 12 air checks in, finally he breaks down and is like, okay, you're going to be on tonight at midnight from 6 a.m. I was like, okay. Great. I had no idea how to use anything in the studio at the time, because what they were doing was that they said at the time no interns were allowed in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I really didn't, anytime I was in the studio, I really had to really ask ahead of time or just sneak my way in straight up. And during that year, there was no interns allowed. So what I would do, I lived an hour away from the station. I would drive all the way to the station late at night after midnight when nobody was on. I would sneak in and I would record some stuff and I would practice using the studio. I don't think they never knew that.
They didn't know that.
No, 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 no.
No. So I would be off air. No, I wasn't on air yet. So it would be off air.
No, I'm talking about, was there anything playing on air? Like,
yeah, no, 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 no. I would go in, I would sneak in, and there was this thing called a Vox Pro, and it's how we edit callers and all that stuff, and how we interviews and such so forth. Well, I had no experience with that. So what I would do is I would sneak in like 1 o'clock in the morning and take calls. Like, believe it or not, people still call the station even though nothing's happening.
Right.
And I'd just chop it up with them.
Just talk, yeah, practice. I talk.
Hey, what's up? What you want to hear? How you doing tonight? What are you doing? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah.
Then I would get the call. Can I slap a sticker on your booty?
Yeah, can I?
Later.
How big is your booty, girl? What kind of panties you wearing? And then I get that on the Vox Pro, and I would just practice on that. And I did that for several months. And I don't think they never knew that, because I couldn't tell them. They would fire me, you know? So,
yeah.
So I had a little bit of experience. But finally, so he says, okay, cool, you're going to do it. So I have my first show. It's a complete disaster.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing in
that
the studio.
Sense. Yeah.
I really felt the first time I did my show, that very first show, I felt like quitting.
Yeah.
Because it was just so much at one time. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to say next. I don't know how to play what I'm going to say next. I can't even play the music correctly. I don't even know what I'm doing. What the fuck is going on? Okay. So look, I was stressed out. Anyways.
How long was the show?
It was 6 hours.
6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was late at night where the ratings don't really count, so they weren't tripping if I messed up or not. So anyways, I do the show. Well, I get an email 3 days later that says, hey, such and such program director and such night jock had just been fired from Wild 94.9. So yeah, that's what it is. I'm wishing the best. So my program director who put me on 3 days before, he just got fired.
Oh,
so now
you're thinking, I'm done. I'm not getting an on-air career.
Shit. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I just got on and he got fired not even a week later. After a year of air checks, the man gets canned. He's out of there. And really, the station is in limbo at the time.
Yeah.
So, and we just didn't have, and the music director, the guy second in charge, really just told me, hey, man, we can't make any changes right now until we get a new program director. And I said, well, shit, what do I do? The guy who took over promotions, who I was working in promotions, he hated me. We didn't get along. He was a guy from Seattle. We didn't get along. He thought he knew everything. I thought I knew everything. Anyways, he thought I was bad for the team. So I ended up quitting. So I quit Wild 94.9. I knew a guy who, the company, Clear Channel San Francisco, they own 5 stations. One of the engineers, he knew all the program directors. All right, and I was cool with them. I was like, man, I got to quit. What do you think I should do? He's like, well, I know the jazz station down the hall. They're looking for somebody to board up on Sundays. You want me to talk to the guy? I was like, yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, let me know. So anyways, he gets me an interview with the guy. And he goes, hey, I used to work at Wild. Yeah, and his name was Ken Jones. And I was like, and I always used to tell him, I was like, what was Ken Jones? He's like, I hate what people do. I was like, oh, okay, my bad. Anyway, he goes, hey man, you used to work at Wild. Great. Okay, awesome. Well, yeah, we need somebody to run the board. It's 5 hours a week. You got any experience? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
No experience. No.
Yeah.
No, so
I think that's, I think that's the number one rule in show business. If they ask you if you can do something, yeah,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah, I can do it. And it's like, and he, so anyway, but he was nice enough to give me some training. Thank you. Because, you know, I had no idea what I was doing. So I started doing that. And it was 5 hours every Sunday at the Smooth Jazz Station. It was called Sunday Brunch. It was $50 a week. But it finally got me a check.
Yeah.
From the radio station, from the company I've been working at for the past 2 years for free. Finally got me a check. I think I still have that check.
You didn't cash it?
I didn't cash it. I think I might have cashed. I don't know.
You might have cashed it.
I really needed the money at the
time. Yeah.
So basically I started doing that and that was cool. I was like, yes, I'm in. I got an email from the company now. You know what I mean? I'm in. I'm an employee. So I needed more hours. I went down the hall to the talk radio station, the two AM stations, and they were doing a community affairs show. And basically every radio company, they got to do a show that's dedicated towards the community. Like, hey, you know, like, autism, what is it about? Da, 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 da. Then you have to come in and
talk about it.
Well, anyways, this show plays on all the stations that the company owns. And I got in good with the talk radio station PDs. You know, they liked me a lot. Gave me an opportunity, and I started doing that. So that was an additional 10 hours a week.
Oh,
wow.
I was
a producer. I was the host for that. And it was cool. Like, and I sounded really out of place. You know what I mean? This hip-hop guy, he's talking about, you know.
We talking about autism today. It's fucked up and shit.
Diabetes, son. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about that. And it was funny because, like, all the nerds who worked at the AM station would always give me a hard time because I sounded so, like, hip. And we're talking about something so serious. You know what I mean? Like, yo, that Children's Festival going down this weekend, son. Donation's only $5. You know, and
I look at you.
And it was funny because I was like really just practicing my craft at the time, so I really didn't know who I was. Well, anyways, I started doing that for about 9 months. Finally, I get another call from Wild 94.9. They finally got a new program director, and they hired somebody that I used to work with. They hired her as full time, and that was cool. So I had some ins now. They go, okay, well, we heard you've been, you know, bored up and down the hall and da da da. You can run the studio. Well, our afternoon jock, he's leaving to the Bahamas for 2 weeks. Can you fill in? I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. So filled in. It was cool. Went all right. 2 weeks later, that afternoon jock ends up quitting, and he'd been there for 15 some odd years.
Jeez, man.
And I'm telling you, radio is all about timing. Yeah. So he goes. The program director calls me. He's like, hey man, we need you to, you know, be the producer for the afternoon show for we don't know how long. Could be a week, could be a month. I was taking a class at a junior college, and I was on my way to class. I hit an immediate U-turn, quit the class, and I was like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm here. Cool. They started doing it. It ended up being a month and a half, and it went well. And during that month and a half, he was giving me auditions on the weekends. He's like, yeah, you know, I heard they were trying to put you on air, and let's see what you got. He gave me an audition, and the second show I had, this was the best. This was the show that got me into radio. The second show I had, I obviously knew the studio.
Yeah.
I had more experience talking. It was a Sunday night, and it was a night that Chris Brown hit Rihanna.
Oh.
And
dang.
I was the only person on air at the time because it was so late on Sunday.
I hate to say perfect timing.
Yeah. But everything was just timing. So it was just like this great show. Like, people were calling in because Chris Brown had this, you know, Chris Brown and Rihanna had clean images at the time.
Yeah.
And
they were going to the Grammys, right?
They were going to Grammys, yeah.
I remember watching the red carpet of the Grammys, and like Ryan Seacrest was like, well, we haven't seen Rihanna or Chris Brown. They were supposed to arrive.
Where the hell are these kids?
Yeah. I wonder what happened.
And people were calling me up. It's like, is it true Chris Brown hit Rihanna? I'm like, man, I hope not, dude. That'd be fucked up. And then anyways, it was true. So this rumor broke out too. And I never addressed no stories, no rumors or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I called, you know, the girl that she still does nights there, but she's like my big sister, right? We came up together. I called her and I was like, Nessa, what do I say? This big story going on. Just say, oh, and she goes, you know, she's all up in the gossip. Just say that Chris Brown gave Rihanna herpes. I was like, well, can I say herpes? No. Just say the big H. So I go on there and I'm like, all right, guys, you never believe it. Rihanna gave Chris Brown the big H, and you know what I'm talking about. And then the line just went crazy.
Lined up, left and right.
People were like, oh, hell no, I would have beat her ass to it, and da-da-da-da. And then some people were like, oh, you're lying. And so it was just like a good show. It was fun. Anyways, so a month and a half of doing that, finally they make an announcement, and the program director goes, all right, we got a new morning show, we got a new afternoon show, and we got a new part-timer, JC. Oh, man, I was like, finally.
I've made it.
After how long? Two and a half years?
This was about 2.5 years, almost 3 years.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And it was such a grind and a circle and such like timing. Everything was timing, man. It was like, and I was like, finally, I got the job that I wanted from this station. So I was able to make it, and I was like the sixth man for about a year. Did that for about a year and a half. Things went well. It was cool. You know, I was making it. I was doing the club promotions on the side too. I started throwing my own parties and stuff like that. So
you're kind of piecing all these little jobs together, getting enough money.
Mixtape, you know, hosting, you know, anything I could get money, I was doing. Booking party buses, booking limos, booking tables, like anything I could do to get money in the entertainment, because I really went all in. I stopped doing normal jobs. Because I was terrible at all normal jobs. I got fired from all my normal jobs.
I feel you on that.
They hated me, every single one of them. I was always the guy who got like the least amount of hours because I was just like the most crappiest person at that job. So,
dang.
Yeah, so I went in full time on an entertainment tip. Year and a half later of doing part time radio, my program director goes, "Hey man, you're pretty good, man. He's like, you know what? I think it's time that you start looking for a full time gig." He's like, "Look, man, I offer you something, but obviously I don't have anything because I just hired everybody." And I was like, "Yeah, I understand." He's like, "Well, you can look around throughout the country, and you have my blessing." And I was like, "Okay, cool." I never had anybody listen to my stuff outside of the Bay Area before.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not leaving the Bay.
Yeah.
Where am I going to go? Like, so basically his old station was a station in Denver. And that station just so happened to have an opening. So I got an air check together. And my program director at the time, he's just so busy, you know? Like, so I didn't have time to make one with him.
Yeah.
But I was good with all the other program directors. So the guy who helped me make one was a program director of a rock station. He helped me make my first air check. And we would go back. I would go back and forth. Let's fix that. Okay, good. You got one. Send it out. Cool. Sent it to Denver. I get a call the next day from this guy in Denver. Man, you know what, dude? This is one of the best air checks I've heard in the country. Who are you? Where are you from?
Whoa.
Where have you been? Dang. I was like, well, I'm a part-timer in San Francisco. That's why you probably haven't heard of me. Have you ever heard of my name? He's like, man, this is awesome. He's like, the problem is I just offered the job to somebody 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And it was like, I was like, ah, damn. Well, but at the time I was like, dude, thank you for listening. I appreciate the feedback, man. This is the first time anybody from outside the Bay Area, much less from out of the state, has heard it. We started talking. I never met the guy in my life, never been to Denver. And he's like, you know what, man? I just offered the job to somebody 2 weeks ago, but there's a station in Houston called The Box. And if you apply there, you'll probably get it. And I said, well, how far is Houston from San Francisco? He's like, well, that's about 3.5-hour flight. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's not bad. I was like, I never been to Texas. I never even thought about Texas. Knew nobody in Texas.
Yeah.
And so I was like, cool. So I sent an email out. Same process. Boom, the next day. Oh, who is this? I was like, oh, hey.
Damn, this is
J. Chris. That was my name at the time. It went from JC to J. Chris. And I'm like, this is J. Chris. Hey, how you doing? And it was my current program director, and she just loved my air check. And she gave me an interview over the phone and was like, well, you know, we want to meet you. So, you know, we're going to set up something so where you can fly out here and we can meet you.
Well, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. We're going to hear more about Key West's story and how he made it here to 97 in the Box coming up on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand.
Our interview, the first part of it at least, with 97.9 the Box's own Key West. You heard his journey so far. You heard about how he started out, all right, in the Bay Area, all right? And then you heard about him trying to go to Denver and then finally making it here in Houston, Texas. We're going to talk more with Key West, not on this show, but we liked him so much, I asked him if he'll come back next week and do part two of our interview with Key West. He agreed to it, so be sure to tune in next Monday to hear the rest of the conversation with Mr. Key West. Always check us out on Twitter at Brad Gilmore Show, and check Key West out at Key West. That's Q-U-I West on Twitter. So much stuff going on. Make sure you go check us out on Stitcher Radio too, iTunes, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, all that jazz. And make sure you follow me, DJ Motai, and Ashley Imani on Twitter and Instagram. I want to say thank you to everybody who listens to this show every week. I want to really thank Key West for letting us in on his story. Very, very interesting guy. Has a lot of good stuff that he's letting y'all know. So I look forward to hearing him next week here on the Brad Gilmore Show On Demand. Like I said, thank you so much. And make sure you use that hashtag BG Show and the hashtag We want Whoopi because Whoopi Goldberg needs to get on the show by the end of 2014. You think I'm joking? I am not joking. We need to get Whoopi Goldberg on here. Once again, Brad Gilmore, Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, and I am out.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.